again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. That's noon and 3 p.m. And about the 11th hour, around 5 p.m., he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few chosen. On the surface, it almost seems as maybe God isn't fair, especially to the ones that started the workday out at 6 a.m. What this shows us here, it shows us and gives us a glimpse into glory. It gives us a glimpse into the kingdom of heaven. What it also tells us very specifically is that God's ways are not our ways. And his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We know that there are really three main characters, if you will, three main sets of characters in this parable. We have the Lord of the vineyard, which we know is God. We have the steward, which could be Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. And then we have the laborers or the workers in the vineyard, which represents us or believers in Jesus Christ. Let me start off by saying this. This parable is not about salvation. Because if it was about salvation, then that means that this parable would suggest that we have to work to be saved. But we do not have to work to be saved. We don't work to be saved. We work because we are saved. We don't work to be saved. We work to get paid. Right? I mean, I didn't do one thing to earn my salvation, but bless God, I'm trying to pay him off ever since I've got it. But I'm thankful that as long as we work and as long as we do what he tells us to do, there is a payday coming. But what, and the title of the message tonight is simply this: there are some folks and some people in this parable, they had a problem with payday. Now, very quickly, let me just refresh to you what's happening here. Now, this parable, you have to understand, this story did not start, this conversation, Jesus with his disciples, did not start in Matthew chapter 20. It started in the middle of Matthew chapter 19. And I suggest that you go home and you read these two chapters together and you'll get a better idea of what's happening and what's going on. Because how many times have I said it? And my dad has taught me over the years, when you study the Bible, who's talking, who they talking to, and what's the setting. And so Jesus here in Matthew 20 is talking to his disciples, but the conversation started with the rich young ruler that came to him in Matthew chapter 19. You all remember the story. The rich young ruler came, and listen, he came at the right time. He came when he was young. He had the right question. He had the question about, Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus gave him the right answer. But just because he came at the right time and he had the right question and he got the right answer doesn't mean he made the right choice. He made the wrong choice. And he chose to walk away that day. Jesus even said, they had a conversation, said, you know what? I'll come to where you're at. How about this? He said, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said this, how about I just knock it down to 5 commandments? And if you can do those 5, then I'll grade you on a curve. And you can make it in on the rest. And the rich young ruler said, well, I appreciate that, but he showed him his great card and said, you know what? I've done all these since my youth. He got an A+. And when you're making your own great card, I guess you will get an A+, won't you? But even though Jesus said, if you truly want perfection, if you truly want to make it into the kingdom of God, sell all you have and come and follow me. And the man made the wrong choice. The young man made the wrong choice because he walked away empty-handed, because the Bible says he had great possessions. But may I submit to you, great possessions had him. And I honestly think, Josh, that this young man wanted the kingdom, but he didn't want the kingdom first. And there are many of you tonight, you want the kingdom of God, and you want the blessings of God, but you don't want the kingdom of God first. The Bible says, my mom's favorite verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The young man didn't like the kingdom trade-off. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want the kingdom of God, you got to forsake all, you got to give all, you got to sell all you have and follow me. The young man didn't like it. He wanted the kingdom, but he didn't want the kingdom first. And my friend, may you beware tonight. You'll walk away empty-handed if you don't put the kingdom of God first in your focus. And so the disciples saw what happened. You're going to let this rich man walk away? You let this young, he could have given us a retirement. He could have given us 401k. He could have benefited us. And you're going to let him walk away? They may not have said that, but that's, you know, that's just paraphrasing there. But they turned their conversation to Christ. And Peter spoke up. If a rich man can't enter into heaven, who then shall be saved? I mean, Lord, we have followed you. We forsook our family. I gave up my fishing business. If you're a fisherman, that's hard to do, to lay down the fishing poles. I gave it all up to follow you. What are we going to get? What are we going to get? When's our payday coming? Lord, we've invested so much in you. We've been here from the very beginning. What are we getting? Jesus said, well, it's like this. Let me tell you a story. Man had a vineyard. And he went out searching for workers in the vineyard. Went out early morning. He hired them. They were union workers, see? They settled on a wage. Said, I'll give you a penny a day. So they agreed to the penny a day. And they began to work. And as the day went on, we read the story to you. Four more times, he went out into the marketplace asking for workers. There wasn't a problem during the work day, but it was payday. There's where the problem came. Because when they finally got the payday, and they finally got to the 12th hour, and they were going back to the steward to get the money for the day, something really weird happened, something strange. Don't you think the guys that have been working all day long, working for 12 hours, don't you think they should have been getting paid first? But instead, the Lord of the vineyard said, bring the ones that only worked an hour, and let's pay them first. Right then, that would have caused some of you to get mad. But then, what made it even worse, Josh, is the fact that what should we pay him? Why don't you pay him a penny? Wait a minute, wait a minute. 6 a.m. workers over here saying, now wait a minute, we worked all day long. Maybe in the back of their mind they're thinking, oh, maybe this is a sliding scale. Maybe if he's going to, out of the goodness of his heart, maybe he will give us more. Because he gave the 1 hour workers, he gave them a penny. Maybe he'll adjust that and give us more. But you all know the story, don't you? As every one of them came to get paid, the very last ones that had agreed upon a price got mad and murmured. They had a problem with payday because they said, wait a minute, we've been here longer. We've worked harder. Why are we not getting more than what the others got? They had a problem, first of all, with their compensation. They had a problem with their compensation. They didn't understand what payday was all about. See, they thought they had seniority. Because they had been there all day, because they had been there longer than anybody else, they felt they deserved more. Now, if you haven't followed exactly what I just said, let me rephrase it one more time. God's not interested in how long you've been serving him. He's not interested in seniority. God will choose to bless who he wants to bless, and he don't need your permission. The problem is we sit in a church world today full of entitled people that think because they've been here for so long that they deserve other blessings over other people. My friend, God's not impressed with your seniority. And he'll choose to reward people the way he wants to reward people. Somebody say amen, that's good preaching. He's not impressed. They had a problem because they thought they had seniority, but also notice this with their compensation. Look at this sincerity. Now, it seems like from the text, we get the impression that it was urgent that this harvest need to be brought in and this work needed to be done. Now, wouldn't you think that a businessman, to get more return on his investment, should we say, would hire enough workers at the beginning of the day? Thereby, he could get all the work done and wouldn't have to hire more workers. But instead, it seems like through the day, he hired more people and staggered it and hired more people through the day. Wouldn't you think he would have hired what he needed at the beginning of the day? Can I suggest to you, I'm spiritual imagination here, maybe he did hire enough at the beginning of the day. Maybe the work was too much for just one set of people. Those that have been serving and working in the field for a long time. Can I say this with sincerity of heart? And can I say this as truthfully and honestly as I can? Don't grumble and complain about the workers that's coming in at the 11th hour. Our problem is we look at the people coming in to work the vineyard. And we're thinking, what are they here for? Are they here to take my position? Are they here to do this? Are they here? No, they're not here to do any of that. They're here to do the work that you can't do anymore. Haven't you noticed the vineyard at Rubyville is a lot larger than what it used to be? And the field is a lot larger. What now was just a 139 on the side of the road now has expanded into a worldwide ministry. It's God that does that. So I don't complain about people that's willing to work in the field. We need every one of them. So don't grumble and complain. Some of them aren't. Maybe some of them are here to try to get a position and try to get a job. God will take care of them. But listen, you understand if people are here to work, we need them to work. We need the young people. We need the old people. We need the middle-aged people. We need everybody working in the field because the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. The sincerity, but also notice the selfishness. They had a problem with everybody getting paid the same, even though they worked more. Maybe they looked at the goodman of the house or the lord of the vineyard. Said, wait a minute, shouldn't I get more for the work that I've done? Let me just reiterate one more time before we go to the second point. God don't need your permission to bless somebody. Don't be selfish at what somebody else has. There's a lot better preachers than myself, a lot better singers than myself, a lot better instrumentalists and musicians than myself. I don't get jealous. I don't get selfish over what God has blessed them with. May I remind you, I'm an original design. And you are an original design. And original designs are a lot more worth and a lot more valuable than a carbon copy. So I don't need to sing like Garrett Fitch. I don't need to sing like Eric Baker. I don't need to preach like Josh Ward or Calvin Ray Evans. I'll just be who God made me to be, and I won't be selfish. I'll be content, and I'll use what the talents and the gifts God's given me. We waste our time and effort trying to be like somebody else when God says, I created you to be you. Amen. That's good preaching. So they were upset about the compensation. And secondly, that led to a competition. There was a competition there because they were jealous. No, you mean we could have waited till 5 p.m.? You mean we didn't have to get here at 6 a.m.? We could have slept all day and got here at 5 and got paid the same. Jealousy. Jealousy and envy. Wanting what somebody else has. Boy, that'll kill your soul, folks. That'll kill your soul. I got to move on. Not only were they jealous in this competition, but also they started to judge, because they would say, they don't deserve that. They don't deserve that blessing. See, what people will do is there's people out in life that see what you have and they want what you have. So what they do is they'll get close to you, not with the intention of being your friend. They'll get close to you to find out how you got what you got. And then when they find out how you got what you got, they'll undermine you to get what you got. You understand what I'm saying? So beware of people that are always trying to get in your stuff. Just tell them, hey, God's blessed me. Why don't you seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling and let God bless you? Why can't we just be content and not judge people and say they don't deserve? You don't know what they've done. You don't know what God's called them to do. How about we take care of our own selves? Amen. Somebody say amen. They were jealous. They started to judge, and then they wanted justice. They say, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. We're not getting as much as what the others are. That's what they thought. This isn't fair. But may I say again, you better be thankful that God isn't fair. If he was fair, none of us would be here today. If he was fair, we would all be in hell right now. If he was fair and if he gave us what we deserved, none of us would be blessed of God. You better thank God he isn't fair, and you better thank God he chooses to do what he wants to do with what he has, when he wants to and how he wants to, and be thankful that he's blessed you. Amen. They had a problem at payday because of the compensation, but the competition. But then finally, let's end on a good note. Notice the commendation. The commendation. We always say this, God is good all the time and all the time. So why do people get upset when they see God's goodness happening to somebody else? Notice this, the commendation. This shows us the character of God in this parable because it shows us the goodness of God. You say, Brian, how do we see the goodness of God in this parable? Now let's go back to the 6 a.m. crowd. You still think after you read this parable, they got shortchanged. Normally, as a human being, we look at it and say that this don't seem fair. This don't seem right. These men that worked in this vineyard, whoever it was, the workers, seemed like they got shortchanged for working a long, hard day. But notice the goodness of God. You say, where's the goodness of God? The goodness of God is this. The Lord of the vineyard kept his word. He did? Oh, yeah. Verse 2, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. How much did they get paid at the end of the day? A penny. He kept his word. That shows us the goodness of God. God will always keep his word. If he's promised you he's going to do this, he will do it. Bank on it. You can take it to the bank. He will do it. It may not be in the time you want it to happen. It may not be the way you want it to happen, but he will do it. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God will always keep his word. Amen. That's the goodness of God. But notice not only the goodness of God, but the generosity of God. Notice the four other sets of workers didn't set a contract at the beginning when they went out to work. They didn't. They didn't agree on a penny a day. All they did was trust the word of the Lord of the vineyard that he would take care of them at the end of the day. And when they got to the end of the day, They had a penny in their hand. They had just as much as everybody else. Those that worked less got the same. Those that worked more got the same. But they all could say at the end of the day, I got more than I deserve. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the generosity of God. Every one of us at the end of the day can say he's given us more than we deserve. All we got to do is trust him. Trust him. Not only see the goodness and the generosity, but Baker's come and get a song. We also see the grace in this commendation. Where's the grace at? He says, verse 16, so the last shall be first and the first last. Here's the grace. For many be called, but few chosen. Many be called, but few are chosen. My friend, that's a perfect picture of the grace of God. You say, Brian, how is that? Because he chose you to work in the vineyard. He went out into the highways and said, if you want to work, come. And at the end of the day, I'll reward you. This parable is all about the believer's reward. And I don't understand it all. And you still may not think it's fair. But I want to tell you this. The folks that have been saved 60, 70, 80 years, or the young man that got saved this morning, if God chooses to take us home right now, we all get the same heaven. We all get the same Jesus. We all get the same new body. Hallelujah, glory to God. I don't understand it, but when I get to the end of the way, I'll say, thank God for grace. I don't deserve it, but he gave it anyway. God's calling for workers. Workers. Young people, we need you to work in the field. Middle age, we need you. Older folks, we still need you. We all can do something. The harvest is not done yet, but the work is so much. We need us. We need each other. Friend, be as close to God as you can possibly be. Get the things of the world out of your life. Get as close to God as you can, because harvest is about ready. Harvest is about done, and he's about ready to come back and get us. Can't express that to you any harder than what I am right now. He is coming. Make sure you're ready. Make sure no sin is on board. And at the end of the day, you won't have a problem with payday.